Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. I hope everybody had a great holiday weekend, at least here in the US, and just a perhaps great normal weekend outside. But today we are starting off Q3 after the Q2 delivery report. Of course, we went through that on Saturday. So today we're talking about Tesla's expansion plans here in Q3. We've got a new report on Giga Berlin's plans. We've also got analyst reaction from that Q2 delivery report. Monroe & Associates, they are beginning their teardown of that 4680 Model Y. And a few other items as well. All right, so first up today, we're going to start off with the stock. A nice day today, Tesla up 2.5%. I think mostly just following the macro, with the NASDAQ also finishing up 1.75% today. Tesla closing just below $700 per share. And right here, while we're on the screen, I did just want to address something that seemed to get a lot of headlines today. And that was, as we can see here in the top of the news, BYD apparently surpassing Tesla to become the top electric vehicle maker by sales. If you saw any headlines like that, they're not accurate. That includes plug-in hybrid EVs. So if you want to count those, sure, you can. BYD had delivered about 641,000 in the first half of the year, but about half of those were plug-in hybrid. So from a pure battery electric perspective, BYD only at 324,000 so far this year, whereas Tesla, of course, at 565,000 through the first half. So just wanting to address that since it happened to pop up here on our newsfeed on the stock. But just a couple other quick things from a macro perspective and a stock perspective. First, we should get a few economic reports this week. Starting off with tomorrow, we'll get the PMI for June. We'll also get the FOMC meeting minutes from the June meeting. And then, of course, the big one next week is going to be the CPI report. That is scheduled for Wednesday, July 13th for the June report. And that'll be before market open by about an hour. So as we talked about when we got the June Fed meeting press conference and interest rate changes, they talked about how they decided to go to that 75 basis point increase after we saw the CPI print for May. So we're going to definitely be, the market is definitely going to be keying in even more so than usual based on this June report, as the Fed had called this specifically out as something that is an important indicator for them, particularly right now, given the surprise that we saw in May. Of course, it's always an important report, but even being emphasized further by the Fed last time around. So the Fed's next meeting, that'll be July 26th and 27th, so about 1 week after Tesla's earnings report, which, as we had talked about, scheduled for July 20th. So we've got a lot coming up here in the early part of Q3, and I think that'll sort of set the course for how the second half of the year unfolds. It's a really critical period of time right now. All right, so getting into more of the Tesla-specific stuff, we'll start off with just a couple of the analyst reactions to that Q2 delivery report. As we can see with the stock, not a whole lot of movement today. Again, mostly just following the macro, and I think the analyst reactions kind of reflected that. Here, I've just highlighted a couple from this Barron's article that did a pretty good job recapping analyst reactions. So Cohen analyst Jeffrey Osborne saying results were roughly in line. Deutsche Bank Emmanuel Rosner calling results respectable. And then I just highlighted this one down here. JP Morgan, they did lower their price target on Tesla. I think that's one of the few price target change I've seen. But they have a $385 price target on the stock right now. Consistently, they've rated it at sell. So probably just taking advantage of any opportunity to try to, you know, get their price target down a little bit. Goldman Sachs kind of echoing those same comments. Just wanted to highlight this here too, because they said that they believed that the results were in line with or slightly ahead of buy side consensus. They posted this over the weekend. So again, just kind of reinforcing the, I suppose, lack of strong reaction today. But as we talked about the Q2 report, most important thing, Tesla's production in June was a record, and we should see that going forward throughout Q3, with the exception of July. As we have talked about, Shanghai is going to have some downtime. And then it looks like Giga Berlin is also going to have some downtime here as well, just to increase production output later on, implement upgrades, things of that sort. So on that note, we've got an upgrade, or we've got a an update here from TeslaMag.de. They previously had reported on Giga Berlin expansion plans. We've got a little bit more information on that. And in this article here over the weekend, they are kind of correcting another report that caused a little bit of confusion from build.de over the weekend. So they had said that Giga Berlin was going to be shut down today, or rather yesterday, Monday, July 4th. And it turns out that expectation was a little bit early. So they corrected the report, TeslaMag.de, kind of, you know, laying that out for people. So what they say here is that a well-informed source has now confirmed to teslamag.de that the date given by the newspaper on the second attempt, so Build's correction, next Monday is correct. Incidentally, this interruption of production in Grünheide has been planned since at least March. So from July 11th, the vast majority of the previous Tesla employees will not be needed temporarily, but after 2 weeks, everyone should come back. And from August, many more every week, meaning Tesla will continue hiring new employees throughout August and the rest of Q3. They do say, though, that however, these new hires do not serve the goal of filling a third shift in the Berlin factory. They had heard from their source again on Monday. So that was something we had talked about. It was sort of a rumor that Tesla would be adding a third shift. I think here in the first week of Q3, teslamag.de is denying that report, saying that that third shift will come sometime later. They say sometime in the fall, I believe, is when they expect that. However, with this upgrade, they note that the current production rate should go from 90 seconds per vehicle. And again, that's probably peak capacity, not necessarily consistent. We'll walk through a little bit of the math on that. But they say that that should then drop down to 45 seconds once this upgrade is complete, heading into August. So Tesla taking some downtime here in Berlin to hopefully be able to double production output. That third shift not quite coming yet. As for the other rumor we had talked about, with Tesla expanding from 5 days of production to six, no update from this Tesla Mega report on that piece. So on the 45 seconds thing, I think that should be pretty expected. This just kind of reminded me back to when the Berlin Gigafest had happened. Tesla had these signs set up throughout the tour. And on the body in white line, they had noted that they're able to produce one car body every 45 seconds. Obviously, that wasn't at that point in time, so Tesla probably talking about their peak capacity here on that line. And that matches up here with the Tesla Mag report. So just want to run through some really quick math on what these rates might mean once Tesla completes this, and obviously then gets things further up to speed in terms of consistency of production rather than just peak. So if we're talking 90 seconds, that's 40 per hour, which would mean for a 7 hour shift, assuming there's some changeover between shifts, about 280 per shift. We know that Tesla was working on two shifts for 5 days a week, so that'd be about 2,800 per week or 35,000 per quarter. Again, sort of like peak rate. So obviously we know Tesla didn't hit that here in Q2, but that's what we could be looking at for Q3 on sort of the current production plan. However, if we do have this upgrade and Tesla then reduces that down to 45 seconds, we obviously get to double that. That would bring that up to 5,600 per week. And then if we go further and we assume that Tesla then goes and adds that sixth day of production, so adds in Saturdays and also adds in that third shift, that would be another 80% increase as we had talked about. And that would actually then take things up to 10,000 per week. And just to kind of walk back through that math real quickly, that would be like 21 hours of working, so 3 7-hour shifts for 6 days a week would kind of get us that rate with this production capacity. So that's where Tesla could be heading. Obviously, again, it's going to take time to ramp up, but we should see hopefully some really solid increases in output here from Berlin, hopefully starting from August, continuing through Q3, and then definitely in Q4, I would expect we start getting some pretty major volume out of Berlin. So I just wanted to kind of walk through that, the latest on what those rumors are. And then, of course, nothing really new on Shanghai. We should have expected Shanghai to be basically completely shut down here for the first few days of July. And then Tesla will begin upgrading, I believe, Model Y first. So that should take, I think, 10 days or so is the latest rumor. And then from there might be a little bit of overlap, but also upgrading Model 3 thereafter. So again, just expect the shutdowns through July, but once we come out of it, should be really great news for Tesla's production rates, which were already, again, records in June. All right, next up here, we've got some news from Sandy Monroe. Monroe and Associates, they have begun their teardown of the Model Y 4680 from Texas. So we're going to start hearing some really interesting reporting out of them. Not too much so far. They've really just dropped the pack out, but I just wanted to show a couple of clips here because it's really pretty cool. They show us here that this does in fact have the structural battery, and we can see that when they drop the pack, of course, the seats are there acting as the structural element for the vehicle in terms of the pack. So pretty cool to see that, and just another quick view here. They showed it, just dropping right out of the bottom. And I'll just play a quick clip here so you guys can see kind of what that looks like. And then they showed a nice shot up from the bottom back up into the interior, which was, yeah, right there, which was really cool to see as well. So they were definitely very impressed with what they're seeing, even in this very early stage, just dropping the pack. I think they said it took like 40 bolts, something like that. So, you know, not even that complicated in terms of getting to this stage for them. And they're going to, throughout this week, then begin to try to actually get into the pack and see some of the things that are going on with the 4680s. So hopefully a lot more to learn later this week from Monroe and Associates as they continue that teardown. The other thing quick here from YouTube, so we didn't get a chance to talk about this over the weekend, but on Friday, John Ekreider did drop that interview with Elon Musk. I think a lot of it was stuff that we have heard Elon discuss before. Just one follow-up, because we did talk a little bit about the little teaser that Elon had talked a little bit about mining, or Zhang had said that, you know, Tesla wasn't too interested in getting into mining. So I just wanted to give the quote from that. Elon had said, quote, "Well, we don't want to go into the mining industry or the sort of refining industry, you know, because the limitation is actually more, for example, with lithium, it's more with lithium refinement than the actual mining," end quote. And then he also added that, quote, "I hope we do not need to get into the mining business," end quote. So some of the emphasis there added by me, but Elon kind of, you know, had a similar emphasis when he was walking through it. So John had kind of reported that, you know, Tesla doesn't want to get into mining, and that does seem accurate. However, I think Elon definitely leaving the door open here for that to eventually happen if needed. It doesn't sound like they're close enough to feeling like that needs to happen to actually be taking steps in that direction quite yet. But of course, they did talk a little bit about those type of things at Battery Day. So I don't know, it's a little bit murky, but wanted to at least pass along the verbatim quote there from Elon on mining. All right, next here, we've just got some numbers coming in as we've now wrapped up the first half of the year. So Automotive News here sharing out United States registrations for the first half. And we'll focus on Q2 here, a little bit on the first half in total. I guess we can probably start there. Total U.S. vehicle registrations in the first half were down 19%. So that's kind of the benchmark that we're working with. Tesla here at up 47% in the first half. So obviously strong growth. And that growth would be partially because here in the U.S., Tesla now taking all Fremont production, delivering it in the U.S. versus previous years having to export some out of Fremont. Now Shanghai taking on more of that role, so that definitely helps with Tesla's growth here in the U.S. But even with that huge growth, we're still seeing Tesla's backlog in terms of the order delivery estimates extend in the United States, even with the price increases. So super healthy business right here in the U.S. And definitely outperforming the market, gaining share very quickly. Even here for the second quarter, Tesla 53%, the rest of the industry down 21%. And if you actually take out Tesla's numbers, it gets even worse. Down 22.5% without factoring in Tesla's growth. That being said, just a couple of other highlights here, probably the biggest changes in both directions. So Ford down 8% for the first half of the year, but they've actually started to recover here in the second quarter and did actually show a little bit of growth in the second quarter, up 2%, versus GM still struggling here in the second quarter, down 15%. And then I noticed Honda, even worse here in the second quarter. They're down about 40% for the year, but down 51%. In the second quarter, losing about 200,000 vehicles worth, or about 250,000, I guess, vehicles worth of registrations here just in the second quarter alone. So I don't know if that was some sort of an allocation thing or if Honda had, you know, even worse production shutdowns than the rest of the industry, but definitely something to keep an eye on there for Honda. That's, you can't stay in business too long with those kind of growth rates, so, or rates of decline. So we'll definitely keep an eye on Honda, and then of course Tesla showing strong growth. And then one other thing here, we'll look at the German registrations for the first half of the year. This has been reported as well. Obviously Tesla has been restricted here because of what we just talked about, Shanghai being their hub for exports, Giga Berlin just kind of getting ramped up, but not there yet. So they have been restricted a little bit in their growth. That being said, for the first half of the year, so January through June here, we can see that Tesla is still up 32%. In registrations in Germany, though June, of course, was down 35% with those limited exports from Shanghai. Still good growth in the first half of the year. The total industry was down 11% in registrations, so a little bit better than the US. And then a couple of other things I noted here. Volkswagen down 19%. This is just the VW brand. That was actually the worst performance among brands that had more than 50,000 registrations in the first half. So there's eight brands that fall into that qualifier. But it should be noted that This is just, again, Volkswagen's brand. If you look at Audi, you look at Porsche, two of the other brands in the Volkswagen parent company, they've done a little bit better. So Volkswagen actually up 3% year over year, and Audi down 5%, so faring a little bit better than the industry overall. So still good to see that Tesla growth, still gaining market share despite, you know, the shutdowns that they've had to deal with. And I think we're going to, you know, be on the precipice of this kind of exploding for Germany. So it'll be exciting to see. One other thing here that was reported by Automotive News, not a whole lot of detail on this. This is one of their subscriber articles only. But they did share this chart that shows brand loyalty for luxury brands. And they have Tesla increasing their brand loyalty year over year. This is measuring the period of March 2021 through April 2022 against January 2020, February 2021. So this is a little bit, not necessarily capturing all the recent stuff from Tesla, but and it does include a further back period. And what I mean by that is sort of the venture into politics from Elon Musk and how that might have influenced things, but it's capturing a larger period. But it is nice to see that Tesla's brand loyalty does continue to increase here. And we're seeing a lot of declines pretty much across the board with just Maserati and Genesis increasing year over year. And this data is from the S&P. So I thought that was pretty interesting, worth noting. And then we just have a few other quick things here today. So Elon Musk commented today. He is back on Twitter, by the way. He was tweeting a lot about socks today, so kind of back to usual stuff. But Elon did note today that FSD beta 10.13, they are working hard to get this out, says burning the 3 a.m. oil. So Elon had previously said 2 weeks. I think that was maybe a little bit over 2 weeks ago at this point. So hopefully we'll see 10.13, maybe end of this week, but it sounds like they are working pretty quickly to get that pushed out. And then just a couple other things. So the White House, this was actually last week, I believe on Thursday, had just posted a quick kind of run through of some of the things that are going on in the EV space, as obviously there's a lot of support there with the infrastructure plan. So they're talking about some of the things Tesla is doing at Giga Buffalo, Giga New York. And they noted that later this year, Tesla will begin production of new supercharger equipment that will enable non-Tesla EV drivers in North America to use Tesla superchargers. So what we have seen Tesla do in Europe, for example, is have both the proprietary Tesla connector and then the CCS connector. I would imagine that that would be what they're planning to do here in the United States. And it sounds like the White House has been told by Tesla that they'll start manufacturing those superchargers later this year. So that'll be very interesting to see. I think we've talked quite a bit about that, so no reason to spend more time on that, but something to watch for, and good to see that update. And then finally, just a couple things. This one tangentially related to Tesla, but the Boring Company has opened their station in Resorts World Las Vegas. So this is their latest station. I'll play just the quick video as we're talking about this here. It looks like it's not going, but you can see the station here. So very similar to what we've seen from the Boring Company so far, but good to see that continued expansion from the Boring Company. And the more stations that the Boring Company is able to add, the more people are going to be sitting in and experiencing Teslas. So great to see that sort of synergy created from the opportunities there. And then lastly, just a quick update on SpaceX and Starlink. The Federal Communications Commission, FCC, has given SpaceX permission to use Starlink on moving vessels. So planes, vehicles, cruise liners, freight liners, things like that. Tesla or SpaceX can now use Starlink on those vehicles in motion. So that's something that wasn't unexpected, but really nice to have that official FCC approval for that use case. Should be a big win for Starlink and definitely a big win for customers when this does start getting implemented in airlines, which, as we know, SpaceX is already testing. So exciting to see that. And I think that is it for today. So with that, as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, July 6th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.